Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shea Bowes, still here, joined by Augie, as per usual, the dynamic duo. And guess what? It's that time again, war in the Middle East. Now, you'd be forgiven for thinking you'd seen this movie before, right? Yeah, and you know how it ends too, but that doesn't count. Not in the White House, not in the Pentagon, not in the Department of War. It's all glitzy videos and, you know, we're going to smash them hard, dynamic phrases like Operation Enduring, forever greatness, America. Yeah, it's all going to be absolutely fine. It'll all be over by Christmas. And guess what? Something else that Augie noticed. It seems that Mr. Trump, you know, the peace president, yeah, he took a piece of Venezuela. He's taken a piece of Iraq. He wants a piece of Greenland. And he wants a piece of Canada, too. Maybe that's next. So remember, Mr. Trump did say something previously that Obama was going to be the man that was going to drag us into World War III in the Middle East because he couldn't negotiate. He was useless. Obama was going to be the guy to drag us in. Yeah, for sure. And guess what? As Augie says, the internet never forgets. Right, Augs? Run the video.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective.
And guess what? Augie's doing what he does best, you know. He's rummaged around and he's found out that it wasn't just the big Don telling us that. It's always the other side are going to start that war. You know, the peace president, right? It wasn't just him, right, Uggs? It was also Mr. Hegseth. Yeah, Mr. Muscle, Mr. Crusader Tattoo. You know, the man with the plan. And now, forget the fact that he doesn't know much about military history, it seems, because he claimed that the first ship torpedoed, you know, on the high seas in a war since, you know, Second World War was just sunk by the Americans. Forget the fact that the British sunk the General Belgrano cruiser at the Falklands in 1982. Let's forget that. Details don't matter. We're not interested in the details. Remember what the narco-fuhrer told us last week?
I don't need all this historical...
Yeah, Mr. Hegseth also told you, told us, told the world, that the American people weren't interested in war. Right, Augie? Yeah, and again, the internet never forgets, Pete. Never forgets. Run it, Augie.
I've been a recovering neocon for 6 years now. Like, the foolishness with which we ricocheted around the world, intervening, think it was in our best interest, when really we just overturned the table and created something worse in almost every single scenario, has led to almost, I mean, the hubris of the Pentagon is that they want to now tell other countries how to do counterinsurgency based on what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan. Like, are you kidding me? So you really have learned nothing.
Wow.
Okay, nothing. So yeah, you're right. That trust, the trust there that our political leaders or our generals would have our best interests in mind is totally broken. It's totally broken.
Wow, it's totally broken now. Just like half of Tehran, you know, over 150 kids killed in a girls' school. Yeah, you know, how's it looking, do you think, Augie? Are they going to win this one in short order? Is it going to be the holiday they say it's going to be? Now, the Secretary of the Department of War... Yeah, well, you know, they changed the name to from the Department of Defense to the Department of War. So it's kind of like you walk around with a hammer. Everything looks like a nut, right, Augie? And since they've done that change, they've done, you know, they've hammered Venezuela. Now it's Iran. Who's next? Greenland? Canada? Who knows? But, you know, one thing that you do notice is that, of course, Iran isn't Venezuela. Iran is a vast country. Check out the map, right? It's a beast. It's a it's a geographical fortress. Essentially, very difficult, full of mountains, 90 million people. There's no real way that this gets done without sending troops onto the ground, and that's just a reality. They can bomb and use missiles and aircraft as much as they like, you know, while the Gulf allies run out of interceptors, while the Iranians keep drip feeding in these cheap drones. This is going to have a serious impact on the reality in the region, and that reality in the region also drips down because of energy, because of oil, because of the Straits of Hormuz into the rest of the world. This is everybody's problem. And guess what? Augie's going to tell us just how many Americans actually support this war, Augie, right?
Surprisingly enough, Che, not all Americans support the US strikes on Iran. According to the latest Ipsos poll, only one in four Americans support the new bloodbath in the Middle East.
Well, interesting points, Augie, but be careful what you say, particularly in the land of the free. Maybe it's the home of the brave. Maybe it is the land of the free. You know, we all love America. We're all big fans of America. We love Americans. But right now, you know, speaking out against the war might not be such a good idea, Augie. Take a look at this. This guy is Mr. McGuinness. He's, you know, he wants to stand for a political party. It just happens to be the Green Party. Yeah, I hear you. You know, nobody's perfect. You know, he's obviously got some issues with his political radar. But he dressed up in his uniform, ex-Marine, combat deployed to Iraq. So he knows a thing or two about this stuff. He turns up at a Senate hearing and starts, making his voice heard, let's say, about nobody wanting to die for Israel, because there's a significant portion of people in the United States who believe that this war is being carried out on behalf of the Israeli state. Any evidence of that? Well, I don't know. Maybe a little bit of evidence of this. I don't know. Yeah. Just a little smidgen of evidence, right, that it's being carried out on behalf of Israel. Yeah, nothing to do with Epstein. Forget all that. Yeah, I make a living. Listen, this dude stands up in the hearing, and rather than just letting him have his rant, you take a couple of minutes, pause the thing, let him make a speech in his number one uniform, and they say, thank you very much now for your input. Goodbye. No, they jumped on him. And one of the dudes, in addition to, I think, five cops, who grabbed this guy to drag him out of the hearing, not very good PR for, land of free speech, right? One of the guys that helped was a senator. Now, that senator just happens to be an ex-Green Beret, U.S. Special Forces. So you got an ex-U.S. Special Forces guy and an ex-U.S. Marine basically going at it in a hearing for a war, which most Americans don't want. You get where I'm going? You get where, see where I'm going with this, Yogi? Yeah? Run it.
Ow. No one wants to fight for Israel!
His hand! Oh! His hand!
Oh my God. So they snapped his hand in the door.
Let go of the door. Only go of the door for you.
The senator broke his hand!
Yep. Criminal charges for complaining about the war being a proxy of Israel because it was a big distraction because of the Epstein files, which they kept back 3 million of. And just after Netanyahu met with Trump, suddenly the tax on and Rubio saying that this is happening because they were about to be attacked, and Trump saying we weren't about to be attacked, and that then we were going to attack Israel. It's a bit of a show, really. But, wartime president, midterm elections coming up, nothing to do with it. The Iranians were literally 10 seconds, Augie, away from what?
Jay, I'd rather say seconds away from Trump getting a feeling that Iran is going to have a nuclear bomb.
Now, speaking about that, Augie, the reasons, the rationale, the casus belli, as we like to say in, history buff circles. The reason it all happened, let's not forget about that. Let's discard all that sort of stuff. It doesn't really matter why it happened. The Iranians had a bomb. Forget the fact that the Israelis have been saying since, the late 1970s that the Iranians were minutes away from having a bomb again and again. Yahoo, he's been saying this. He even admitted recently that, I've been hoping to attack Iran like this for 40 years and I finally got my big birthday. But when it comes down to it, the only thing that matters, right, Augie, when you're the most powerful man in the world, as Mr. Trump likes to portray himself and probably is, it's all about feelings, right, Augie? Feelings. You agree? You gotta have that feeling. You wake up in the morning and say, I got this feeling that Iran's about to bomb us. Just like I have a feeling that the Iraqis are like gonna bomb us. They have nuclear weapons and biological weapons. They're gonna bomb. I feel. I said, let's start a war. Let's start a globally impacting conflict. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers away from where we are, which has nothing to do with us, really. Right next door to Israel, though. Let's not mention Israel. Let's just start, because it's all about the feelings. How do you feel about this? Run the video, Hockey.
The president had a feeling, again, based on fact, that Iran was going to strike the United States, was going to strike our assets in the region, and he made a determination to launch Operation Epic Fury based on all of
those
reasons.
So he had a feeling based on facts, or he had a So, feeling based on facts. What facts?
Well, I guess the reason could be that Trump's name is in the Epstein files for like a million times.
Possibly. But what about the fact that they completely obliterated Iran's nuclear program? Completely obliterated it. Completely. We so obliterated it. We sent the bombs down the chimney chute of the whole thing. It's so obliterated. totally obliterated. If you actually did obliterate it, what the f*** are you doing in Iran right now? Yeah. Silence. But I got a feeling. Now, but one thing is important. We got to get the context right here, okay? Now, you know, Donald Trump says that Iran is run by insane lunatics, fanatics, religious fanatics who are, you know, speaking to God, a guy throwing notes down a well, Mr. Ahmadinejad, you know, the Ayatollahs, you know, these brutal people who are, you know, basically talking to themselves and being instructed by forces otherworldly. Of course, on the American side, that would never happen, right, Augie? There's nobody speaking in tongues in the Oval Office. There's nobody having, you know, detailed, you know, visions that, for example, China and Russia are going to invade Israel. Forget about the fact that the biggest ethnicity and the biggest group of people living in Israel that aren't born in Israel, a very small amount of people are actually born there, either from New York or Moscow, is actually who, Augie?
Clearly, it's the Russians.
It's the Russians. So maybe that's why the Big Don's spiritual advisor, yeah, the guy who talks in, come on, I'm going to get feel the angels were coming down, blah, blah, all that bull, right? That dude, yeah, you got him, has now prophesied that Russia are going to invade Israel. Yeah, I you now. Augie, run the video.
Russia must find that oil to be a global force. Israel has that oil, and Russia is already moving into the Middle East. What Israel doesn't have, Donald Trump will control. Secondly, Israel has what Russia must have to be a global force, a warm water port for their navy. Right now, Russia's navy is limited by the icy conditions that surround them. It makes their ships unusable. Ezekiel states that God, quote, in the fury of his wrath, will send a great earthquake in the land of Israel so that the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and the beast of the field and all creeping things that creep on the earth shall shake at the presence of God.
Do the Harlem Shake.
Mountains will fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. Step one, this earthquake is going to swallow one-third of the advancing army consisting of Russia, Turkey, and what's left of Iran, and groups of Islamics that want to join this marching army in the future coming to Israel.
This.
There you have it, folks. That's where the guidance is coming from. You were wondering. Yeah, it's a kind of a feeling and a dude making this shit up. Now, of course, there's a huge anti-war movement has bubbled up, right, Augie, in the United States. People are out in the streets, school full of kids, bombed, another war, didn't really get permission from the United Nations, from anybody, just went at it, sinking ships in international waters, you know, bombing the shit out of everything and anybody, you know, civilian targets. Yeah, the usual stuff. But at least there's been a huge outpouring of rejection of war in the United States, particularly in the Senate, right, Augie?
Sorry to say this, Che, but all of them want bloodbath in Middle East.
They all went to they voted for it, they've gone for it. And even Mr. Schumer, good old Chuck, this sworn dyed-in-the-wool enemy of the Big Don, right, that will die in a knife fight with the Big Don, drowning in his own blood, he kind of propped it up as well, you know? But there was an interesting, what I think is called, my dear boy, a Freudian slip. A Freudian slip, yes, when the subconscious speaks through the moral's mouth, yeah? And Mr. Schumer said something very interesting. We talked about nuclear-armed Iran. He meant to say, you know, he meant to say nobody wants a nuclear-armed Iran, except Iran, you know? Of course, obviously, the only thing that would have stopped the Americans doing what they've just done to Iran would have been a nuclear weapon. And the only thing the Americans didn't want them to have was a nuclear weapon. Why? QED. Let's have a listen to Mr. Schumer. Kind of saying the quiet bit out loud by accident, but also saying something very interesting while he was doing it. Let's have a listen. Run it, Augie.
Do you think Israel, you know, forced the U.S.'s hand here, boxed the U.S. in on this?
Look, no one wants a nuclear war. No one wants a nuclear Israel, but we certainly don't want an endless war, plain and simple. What did I say?
Nuclear Israel.
Oh, no. Got it. Let me say that again. No one wants an endless war, but we certainly don't want a nuclear Iran. That's for sure.
Oh, so yeah. I'll just go back in and say it all again, and you forget I said the first bit. Yeah, that's how it works in the U.S. media. That's how it works. Unreal.
Sorry.
And of course, sticking with the theme of kind of justification for this. Now, remember, it's costing billions a day, a lot of lives, huge disruption. Everybody watching this is going to pay more for their fuel. Cost of living is going to go up. Instability. It's bad for business. Everything is bad about this. Generally, there's nothing really good about it because there's no way they're really going to be able to topple any kind of regime in Iran because of what they've done. You can't do that just using jets, missiles and remote control. You've got to get boots on the ground if they want to really have an impact in Iran, like the one they had in Afghanistan. In Iraq, I hear you say, yeah, for sure. But talking about justification, we did the Americans, right? It's a feeling, and some dude speaking gobbledygook from a 2,000-year-old book. Yeah, real. What about the Israeli side, Augie? What's the sort of Israeli side giving us as the kind of schematic events? So this is what they're presenting to the judge in the International Court of Moral Authority. What are they saying, Augie?
They just put it simple these days. We are the good guys, you are the bad guys.
So that's it. We're the good guys. So that's all you need to say now at this stage, because if you dare challenge the war narrative, you're pro-Iranian or you're pro-Islam or you're anti-American, if you dare sort of say, well, hold on a second, people are going to die here. Maybe we're in the middle of negotiations with the Iranians. And then you started to bomb the shit out of them during the middle of the negotiations. It's like someone picked up the phone and said, stop talking to these motherfuckers. They're saying the right things. We might have to actually do a peace deal and we won't get to bomb the shit out of them. You understand me? Don, get on with it. Of course, that never happened. Yeah? Let's have a listen to Mr. Netanyahu. Rona, Augie.
Freedom is precious, but it has to be protected. And we have to understand that we're fighting here. We're fighting here the bad guys. We're the good guys.
Are we the baddies?
So, of course, lots of people are talking about, well, what happens next? Let's say that this takes 5 days, like the Americans said, maybe 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 2 years, maybe like Afghanistan, 10 years. And then we all fuck off from the roof of the embassy in a helicopter. Like, that never happened before. Vietnam, maybe. But anyway, what happens after the shooting stops? The shooting never stops. Look at Iraq, as we say. But what does happen? Who goes in there? Who swans into town to sit down in the big palace and take over? Well, at the moment, it's the Shah of Iran's son. Now, the Shah of Iran, of course, let's have a look. He's the man that ruled Iran with an iron fist, unelected, let me say, a dynastic family going back centuries and centuries who claims the throne. He was put into place after the US and the British overturned the democratically elected government of Iran. Yes, when did that happen, I hear you say? It happened back in 1953 when a man called Mohammad Massadi was elected as the leader of a new free, independent Iran. And what Mr. Massadi did, the terrible crime he committed was he dared to consider nationalizing the oil. British Petroleum. Bad idea, Mohammed, because Mohammed ended up in court, dying a couple of years afterwards, accused of being a paedophile. Mobs turned up on the street. People started to get shot and killed just out of nowhere. How could that happen? Yeah, CIA, MI6, look it up. The Iranian coup of 1953. But who's going to take over this time? Well, it's the Shah who took over after Mr. Massadi's son. They're going to put him into place, apparently. A very interesting man. Now, he had an interesting phone call from what he thought was the German government. Yeah, this is who they want to put in charge. Just think about this, right? This was obviously the pranksters, Vovan and Alexis, the two Russian dudes. Some of the stuff is great, some of them, yeah. But this one is absolutely cracking. They even, one of them dressed up as Adolf Hitler, mustache and everything. And what did the Shah's son, the new man in charge, according to some, what did he do? He engaged completely openly and freely with this. Talk about a sheltered upbringing. This is absolutely insane. Run the video, Augie.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, dear Prince Pahlavi. So we're waiting for Adolf.
No problem, we'll wait.
Okay.
So you get a call from the Germans, and a dude called Adolf sits down with a little pillar box black mustache saying, "I knew your father, he was a great man." This is circus level idiocy. But did the new man in Iran have anything to say? Of course, it is all a war of ideology, isn't it? A war of morality, of thought, of freedom. Okay, that's what this is about. This is about the United States of America, a democracy, a liberal democracy in many ways, deciding that it can't tolerate an Islamic dictatorship. That's what is portrayed in the media. And of course, the Ayatollah and the Ayatollah before him, the man who's just been killed alongside his wife and members of his family, yeah, that's the democracy killing the dictator. Remember that. The dictator gets killed, but his family and his wife and his granddaughter by the democracy. Just bear all that in mind, right? You're told that this is a dictator. Now, of course, here in the Moscow Mules, right, I think it's fair for me to say, I speak for everybody here, the whole crew, Augie and myself, we're neither pro-Zionist, pro-Jewish, pro-Israeli, pro-Islam, or pro-anybody. We're pro-nothing. We're pro-common sense. One thing we are against is killing loads of innocent women and children, whether it's Ukraine doing it, the United States, Iran, Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, even Russia. It's wrong. It's wrong. It can't be done. Okay? It's got to be called out. Let's have a look at what the man that they tell you is the most evil creature on earth, who is no longer with us, thanks to an American missile. And let's have a look at what he actually said online. He's put together this little comparison. I think it's very, very interesting. Again, no judgments here. Let's just have a look at what the man actually said. Run it, Augie.
I'm not into cinema and visual arts, but when it comes to poetry and novels, I'm not just a typical audience. You can't leave all tasks to your wife and then criticize her, even if she's a scientist or politician. Yet when interacting within family, she's a flower. Man has a responsibility to understand woman's needs and feelings and must not be neglectful toward her emotional state.
Yeah. Sounds okay to me. Okay to me. You know what you gotta do with a guy like that?
Grab her by the...
That's it, Huggy. Now, you know, we've been talking a lot recently about, you know, conspiracy theory, right, Augie? The idea that, the biolabs in Ukraine, the American-backed CIA coup, which is widely accepted now as real, Victoria Nuland, the CIA desperate to break Russia up for a decade. The whole thing, you know, it's all been conspiracy theory. The abduction of kids from Ukraine by the Ukrainian state, bunch of people arrested in Ukraine recently. It's all conspiracy theory. None of it ever happened. Yeah? Yeah. And maybe the conspiracy theory that this whole show in the Middle East is something to do with deflecting from the Epstein files. Yeah, they haven't gone away, you know. And we're not going to let them go away. Our old friend Bill Clinton decided to attend the congressional hearings with his beautiful lady wife. She's fond of a cigar, we hear. And while he was, reviewing some of the evidence, it seems that Bill, what would you say, Augie, he kind of drifted away. He drifted back to what seems to have been a happier time. You know, those carefree days on the island with a couple of preteen girls rubbing your feet. Now, he says he was never on the island, but, you know, some of the women who were abused there say he was. Who to believe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know who I believe. Run the video, Augie.
Mr. President, what do you have?
Let me see.
Why does he keep sticking his finger in his mouth?
Okay.
What's this? Is he get what is that? Is this what is that? Creep. Now there's one element of this, which of course you all know about, right? As the Middle East goes up in smoke, right, they need lots of military material. They need a lot of cash. They need a lot of attention, right? So the sick child needs to be, looked after. Mother and father will all go to the side of the sick child. The other sick child, Ukraine, has now been essentially abandoned, dropped to the bottom of the swimming pool, yeah? So what does Mr. Zelensky, the man who's actually openly complained that all these weapons that are being fired in the Middle East, they could have been fired in Ukraine, we should have got all these weapons. Like the Eurotards and the Ukrotards are having a meltdown because, you know, Uncle Sam has, decided to pick up the other baby. Now, let's have a listen to what he's done. His latest tactic has been to openly threaten the life of a European leader, a democratically elected European leader. Now, guess who isn't democratically elected? That's right, the Green Goblin, the narco of Europe. The last time he was elected was back in 2019. Mr. Orban was elected. He was also threatened that Mr. Zelensky would send the man's address to the Ukrainian military. And we know that's a completely, non-corrupt, trustworthy, great bunch of people to have knocking on your door. Yeah, this all smells of desperation. Let's get into the headlines somehow. How? Threatened to kill a NATO leader and a member of the EU. Both of which, guess what? Country 404 ain't. Run the video, Augie.
You know that we should have a prepayment from the Ukrainian side regarding future aviation, specifically for the Gripens and Rafales. Just yesterday, Mykhailo and I discussed this. We hope that a single person in the European Union will not block the 90 billion or the first tranche of the 90 billion, and that Ukrainian soldiers will have weapons. Otherwise, we'll give this person's address to our armed forces, to our guys, and let them call him and talk to him in their own language.
I mean, that is just remarkable, right, Augie?
Turns out, Orban can tickle Zelensky a little bit, too.
Well, Augie, maybe that's why the Hungarians decided to rain on the parade a little bit for the Ukros. They just so happened to be, check this out, they just happened to be driving back from Austria to Kiev. With a little bit of cash in the ashtray, just a bit of loose change, right? You know, I think it was about $45 million in euros and a few kilos of gold, like 9 kilograms of gold. Yeah, on its way from Austria to Kiev. You know, what is that? What is that? About a week's worth of a theft for the boys in Bankova. Absolutely unreal. But Mr. Orban has decided to rain on their parade a bit. And Mr. Fico is going to cut off electricity. It could get kind of messy, let's say. Mm-hmm. Well, as we were putting together the show this week, Augie and I were kind of thinking, it's pretty grim. It's pretty grim. There's not much to laugh at. But when it comes to laughter, you've always got the EU. And in particular, you've got the EU leftards, the Westoids, you know, the LGBTQ warriors, the people who are defending your right to be a psychopath. Yeah, and of course, it was Fashion Week in Paris. What better place to sort of brighten our days and our moods by having a look at how bad things could be if you were a halfwit. Yes, and there's no shortage of supply of halfwits in Paris these days. Political ones, military ones, but also on Le Catwalk. Have a look at this, have a giggle, and always remind yourself that you aren't French, and that's always a good thing. No, joking. We love France. Ish. Run it, Augie. I like those shades. What the f*** is that? Are you sure that those aren't people who got stuck on the airplane coming back from Dubai after getting the Botox? Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Moscow Mules. As usual, we've loved making it. We've loved having you along. And before you have a panic attack, you know, they're pro-Iran, they're pro-American, they're anti-this, they're anti-that. The only thing that we're against is bull****. okay? Let's not delude ourselves. Certain things are wrong, no matter who does them. We've said it before, we say it again. And, you know, unless you've got a really, really, really good excuse, which you don't have, bombing the shit out of people in their own homes or schools is just a bad, bad, bad idea. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. So, you love us, hate us, whatever you like, we're going to have to keep telling you the truth because someone's got to do it, right, Augie? Now, we'll be here, same time, same place next week. Undoubtedly, it's going to get worse before it gets better, because that's the name of the game when it comes to international politics, it seems, particularly with the group of clowns we've got in charge. So, until the same time, same place next week, we hope to see you then. Look after each other and mind yourselves. God bless.